We are on a pilgrimage to a better, more beautiful land. Being a pilgrim, it's often difficult. Being a pilgrim, it is often difficult. A little more suffering, a little more tears, then on high there is peace at the sea of glass. There will be a choir, never heard, the song of jubilation throughout eternity. A little more suffering, a little more tears, then on high there is peace at the sea of glass. The song of jubilation, never heard. The song of jubilation throughout eternity. Even the path goes through dangers, through many a gloomy time. Yet it leads to the wonderful, beautiful glory of heaven. It leads to the wonderful, beautiful glory in heaven. A little more suffering, a little more tears. Then on high there will be peace at the sea of glass. If the cross often wants to weigh us down, we'll never carry it alone. Let us always look upwards. Where is our bliss? Let us always look upwards. Where is our bliss? A little more suffering, a little more tears, then on high there is peace at the sea of glass. There will be a choir, never heard, the song of jubilation throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. For his faithfulness, perhaps we read from Revelation where this multitude sings at the sea of glass. Revelation chapter 15 from verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. It is something glorious when we may think of soon being with the Lord. And to actually experience what we are reading about now, to have part in what happens after that time. And we have emphasized in the last times that we have to find the right connection to the work of God. And only those who have found the connection to the work of God in the time, who have had a part in the work of God here, in what God has done on earth, will have a part in what God will do in heaven. Only he who has a part in what God has done in the time will have part in what God will do in eternity. Everything else is a pious wish that will remain unfulfilled. I could have given free rein to my tears already from the beginning of this hour. And I think we are all touched by what we heard. And Brother Rus emphasized it. No one got away scot-free. We were all addressed. And if those who have already been blessed by God, who have operated gifts, have been asked to pay up, then I ask myself, where do we want to remain as the rest? If those who speak in tongues, those who interpret and prophesy, those who operate gifts, if those who have already been blessed and used by God are judged, what about all of us who are present here today? What about us then? And I believe God has addressed all of us. Brother Branham just wanted to emphasize that we should not just jump into these things. And also the thought was very good when he said, we don't need to wait for music to create an atmosphere, but the right atmosphere is created in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Not by music, by the Holy Spirit, by heavenly music, by which our hearts are tuned in as is pleasing to God. And if music is added to it, yes, then let it be both heavenly and earthly music, attuned to what God is working among His people by grace. I am very grateful that the sermons have such a response. Very often I am put in a predicament myself, and people come to me all the time. Just recently, a dear brother, he says, listen, haven't you received a word from God to preach? Do you always have to translate Brother Branham's sermons? And you know what my answer is. That is the word that we have all received from God for this time. And that is why we rejoice so warmly in it. Of course, I take note of everything that people tell me, because they mean well. I have not yet met a brother who says anything to me without meaning it well. But I will tell you, even from this last sermon, I have had to learn something. Brother Branham mentioned Billy Graham, and he literally said, "I pray for him now more than ever." Tell me, what is our attitude? We think we have the truth, let the others go their way. And then what? How are we going to stand our ground before God? If we think ourselves to be something, what are we in reality before God? And what we are by grace. And grace bends, grace humbles, and grace intercedes for the other. How often it is difficult for me and for all of us, but I think God gave grace to me to understand people who do not understand us, whether intentionally or not, but that we at least have the will in us and cannot put ourselves above anyone, but intercede in prayer with a sincere heart for brothers and sisters who probably still kick against the pricks. They are pricked in their hearts, but the effect has not yet been felt. Surely we all know people here and there with whom we may have been in the past. We have all written them off. We have just written them off. But the question is whether it is right before God. Wouldn't we also need a binding word here and there? Wouldn't we be well advised to get down on our knees and pray with a sincere heart for brothers and sisters who were once close to us, who also want to stand their ground before God, but are somehow held down and cannot free themselves? It is not enough that we ourselves wait for the rapture. We want, and God also wants, that the number be full. And it is my hope to God that He will do something once more for the praise and glory of His name. And we heard it in the opening word, "Ye are not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." Ye are my friends. What a glorious word. Abraham was called the friend of God, and he had insight into the doings of his Lord. God said to him in Genesis 18, "How could I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" God called him his friend because he could reveal and made known to him what he was about to do. God has done the same with us in this time. Here it is written, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Because I have made known to you all things. Nothing is left. When God reveals, He reveals everything. Maybe not all at once. We've noticed that too. God doesn't reveal everything at once, but He reveals everything that we need, to know. He reveals that. And He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Jesus says in the verses before, without me you can do nothing. But he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You know the relationship between the vine and the branches. The branches have come out of the vine, and the same life that is in the vine is in the branches, and the fruit is manifested. This is the example that the Lord Jesus has given us to take to heart and to set before us. We have already heard God is dealing with all of us, and that is good. His hand will rest heavenly on us until we have received what he has to give us. Oh, that it could take hold of us, as we heard last night and this morning, a painful longing, not just a superficial longing, not just a pious wish, but a painful longing to experience God, to meet him, to experience his power, and to see his arm revealed, that we could know the arm of the Lord has not become shorter, and that this is not just written on paper, but realized here in our midst by the grace of our God. And we know his arm has not grown shorter. What he has set out to do, he is carrying out. I no longer call you servants. Throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel were called servant. You can start from the prophet Isaiah 42 and 43. And even in the Old Testament, everywhere, the people of Israel were the servant of the Lord. But in the New Testament, we are sons and daughters of our God, purchased, redeemed, and delivered, a possession of Almighty God. And the Holy Scripture says, he has transferred us out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, that we proclaim the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has done great things for us all. We are no longer servants, but sons and daughters. We are his friends. He has made all things known to us. Fresh from the throne, his word has been revealed in this time. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that the will of God might be revealed to us. And every person who has a desire to know the will of God can know it, for God has revealed it. But whoever does not find the right connection, his desire will not be satisfied. We have heard it said, the desire must be satisfied. And we know that God alone is able to satisfy it. He alone can satisfy the longing of our hearts. Because, be honest, we are all dissatisfied with ourselves. We cannot remain in the state we are now until the rapture. Something mighty has to happen. Although I believe just as well, when the Lord comes today, he will take us with him. I don't think he will leave any of us here. Why should he? He is able to finish in the twinkling of an eye. We may all need decades. Not him. He speaks one word, and it is done. And we are completed before his holy face. We all know that he who has begun will finish unto the glorious day of his coming. Of that we are certain. But at the same time, we carry in our hearts a deep longing and desire that the last church should be like the first, endued with a power from on high, equipped with the armor of God and the helmet of salvation and shoes on the feet to proclaim the gospel of peace. We know Jesus himself said, "Work until I come again." No one needs to stop serving the Lord. No one needs to stop speaking the word of the Lord to others. We can stop when God stops and not before. If we were to stop earlier, it would all have been in vain. We have to run, pressing toward the mark, until we come from believing unto seeing. I am actually thankful for this inner attitude that God has given us from the beginning, not to deal with times and deadlines, but to leave it to the Lord, to be available for Him, so that He can reveal His will among His people. Here in Revelation, we see the multitude before the sea of glass, and it says so wonderfully, they had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over the number of his name. How can have people victory over the beast if they do not know what the beast is? How can they have victory over the number of his name and about his mark if they don't know what the things are? And would the believers of this time be told that God has sent a prophet to reveal these things so that eyeself can coat our eyes, so that we can see what to overcome in this time? And I'm convinced God has given His own grace to understand what is meant by all these things. And we know that sometimes we can't explain it in such detail either. Often brethren come and say, "Brother Frank, explain this, explain that." And I just have to say, without becoming rude, I'm not explaining anything. Whoever wants to know something, come to the meeting and hear God's word there when it is preached bindingly under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can't answer everything all the time and then be on the man's side for everyone who wants it. In the place where God's word is preached, all our questions are answered. We just have to be there all the time, then it will be right. But if we come every new moon, then many questions will remain unanswered. Brothers and sisters, from the beginning of this year I said, we should not miss one meeting because we don't know what God is about to do. And it should become more and more precious and important for us to come together under the sound of God's word. One time God speaks through His word, one time through prophecy, one time this way, one time that way. But God always speaks to our hearts and He leads us on together. He builds up, He joins. Yes, we become one heart and one soul, and His power and glory is revealed more and more in our lives and in our hearts. It says here, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. This verse says that all the redeemed of the Old and New Testament are present when there is singing before the sea of glass. In the Old Testament, the song of Moses. In the New Testament, the song of the Lamb. And together we sing before the sea of glass. For with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all the prophets of the Old and New Testament, all the elect will be there, and they will sing, "Praise be to the name of the Lord." I don't think we'll have to practice a lot. There will be no need to schedule a singing lesson to practice the song. Everything will be sung and played in heavenly harmony. No one will need to tune the harps. They are already tuned. That will be wonderful, brothers and sisters. If we think about it, then our hearts will be delighted. and we just say, my God, deal with us, stubborn people. Do what you want to do, but manage all of us, that we stand our ground before you. And it is sung here, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Isn't that something glorious? Can we not even now sing and say, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty? Why should we wait until that day comes? We can start today and say in our hearts, great and marvelous are all thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways. The ways of God with his people are just and true. We must all bear witness to that. There is no unrighteousness with God. The people who don't understand God, they are quick to say, when you talk about election, oh, then they say, but God is unjust. God is not unjust at all. God knew who would trust him completely and who would not trust him completely. He knew who would go all the way with him and who would not. All who have understood the doings of God and had part in them, they say, righteous and true are all thy ways, and holy is all thy doings, because it was done in them. That is the great difference. When people are not seized by the working of God, then they speak of unrighteousness. But when people are seized by the work of God, they say, righteous and true is your work, Lord God Almighty, for it has been done on me, it has been done on us, and we rejoice in it with all our heart and with all our soul. I am sure you have all heard this in conversations with people. God is unjust, and they bring up this and that and think they can still prove it. God will convict them all of folly, and he will prove in the end that all his doings are just and holy, and all his ways are true with his people from time and into eternity. All who have part in the work of God, they feel it to be very just. The thought of injustice does not even occur to them. Why should it? When Abraham was about to see Sodom and Gomorrah burned with fire, what was it? There was nothing he could do about it. The decision of God was made. And believe me, every decision of God is true and just. Whether we can see that way at the moment or not, one day we will see it. All God's decisions are true and just. Somebody, even a dear brother, it seldom happens, but he said, Brother Frank, I have trouble with the old reconciliation. Will God be so unjust to let Satan go down to hell and then into the lake of fire? I have had to answer the brother very sharply. Sometimes I speak in love. This time I think it was the same. I don't quite remember. But I just had to tell the brother, Brother, this far and no further, for what God does is justly done. We can't even think about that. It's not our business. The very thought that God could do something unjust is already sin. How are we going to stand before God with that? All the doings of our God are just. All his ways are true. Whether the devil goes down, I don't care. As long as I'm up, that is the one thing I'm interested in. Everything else is left to God. What matters is that we can be with the Lord all the time, and that we can join in the rejoicing. Whether at the final judgment some will be thrown into the lake of fire and others will enter into eternal life, that is not my business, that is God's business. And all his doings will be just. Blank spot. All nations will come and offer before you for your righteousness has been revealed. Until now, people still doubt, but they will see that on that day, the justice of God will be revealed, and the people will be satisfied. They will come and worship in Jerusalem. And inasmuch as the devil is bound and is no longer there to seduce and to deceive and to speak of unrighteousness, he started in the Garden of Eden, should God have said. So the old serpent there in the garden, and so it goes on today, should God have really said. God will do exactly what he said, and thus it remains. Finish. And whoever thinks he has to be a mouthpiece of the devil, with him God should really deal like we have decided to speak the language of our God, namely to say what he has said in his word. And let all others say what they will be put to shame. For only what God has said will endure in time and in eternity. Would that we all took courage this afternoon to know that our God is interested that not one should be left weak, but that all should be made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and that there be not one feeble person among us, but that we all be prepared for the glorious day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Lord our God, just and true are all your doings, true are all thy ways with thy people. If ever we were troubled by the thought that unrighteousness might be in your doings, forgive, O God, and be gracious to me, be gracious to us all. Your doings are holy, your ways with each one are just. Even though we often complain and say, why do I have to go through this and that? Why do I have to walk such a difficult path? Why do I have to do this and that? My God, from today on we want to say, our God is just in all his doings, and his way with me is holy, untouchable, just. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. A Joseph could have said, Lord, your doings are unjust. But he was one blessed by God. He did not grumble. He did not complain. Lord my God, all your prophets and all your people were convinced that all your doings are just. Faithful Master, we are your friends. You have revealed your will to us. We thank you with all our hearts and praise your holy name. Amen.